Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're coming now to the end of our study of this book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read verses 16 through verse 24, paying special attention to verse 23. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also bring it to pass. There is no aspect of biblical truth more frequently or more clearly emphasized than the truth of salvation. The gospel that is clearly set forth time and time again in the scripture. But there's also an equally emphasized doctrine set forth as clearly in the scriptures. It's the doctrine of holiness. I can remember back in the 80s, living in Phoenix, Arizona, that I read a book by Jerry Bridges called The Pursuit of Holiness. You ought to read it. Excellent book. Became a bestseller, and in that book, I noticed that the footnotes that footnoted John Owen. And John Owen's a Puritan writer. I'd never heard of John Owen. And I began looking in Christian bookstores and finally found a copy in a used bookstore in Tucson. John Owen's book, Sin and Temptation. I thought I'd struck it rich, and I had, because it was a tremendous book. In fact, they have rewritten portions of that book, that volume, in more updated language than the Puritan language. And I have sent copies to many of the prisoners recently. And one young guy that you've heard the name, Cornelio, he called me the other day after he had received these copies. He's the young man I've described as always happy. He's one of the youngest prisoners, and anytime he calls me, he's up here high, excited, everything's lovely. But he had just started reading his copy of the indwelling sin in the believer. And he just could not. He said, Pastor, that's one of the best books I've read. He said, I can't put it down. He says, everybody else wants to read it, but he says, I won't let them. He said, I haven't finished reading it yet. And he was so excited to get a hold of a book that deals with the issue of holiness, that deals with the issue of remaining sin in the life of the believer. Can you imagine? Here's a prisoner in the prison system in California, young guy, and he's excited about this book from John Owen. Because John Owen hits the mark, and it rings true in his heart. This is the kind of life that Cornelia wants. A godly life. A holy life. And I remember reading Jerry Bridges' Pursuit of Holiness. Then, to make my little illustration a bit longer, following that, God providentially led me to a bookstore in Tucson, in Phoenix. And the manager of that bookstore one day said, "Have you ever heard any sermons by Al Martin?" I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Well, some people think he's one of the best expositors of the Word in the United States." And I remember I got 5 tapes on the subject of holiness, took them back to my office, started listening to them, and I thought to myself, I've never heard preaching like that before. Right on the target on dealing with living a godly life. I've belabored my point to say this. We're coming to this section today that's dealing with sanctification. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." The very sphere of God's effectual call upon us to come savingly to Him is that sphere of sanctification, of holiness. Sanctification, dear people, is not just a theological term. It is not some kind of emotional experience. True holiness, biblical holiness, consists of nothing less than increasing conformity of heart and life to the revealed will of God. I hope you got that. True sanctification is nothing less than increasing conformity of heart and life to the revealed will of God. Paul has already been dealing with some of the minute details of the Christian life, of sanctification. He's been dealing previously with one's emotional response to death. He's been dealing with the attitude of those who rule over us in the church. What should our attitude be to them? He has been dealing with how to handle those who hurt us and wrong us. He's dealing with our attitude towards the weaker brother, towards those who are disorderly. The overall theme that he has been dealing with is living in conformity to the revealed will of God, living a life that pleases God. Now look at our text, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." And so what we're dealing with this morning, dear ones, is nothing less than entire and complete sanctification of the child of God. Paul is not embarrassed to use the word entirely in verse 23. So we're not talking about just positional sanctification. We're talking about experiential sanctification in our daily life. God doing something in us. God doing something for us. God himself sanctify you. He uses that term entirely. It means totally. It means finally. It means completely. It is a compound word in the original language. And it's the only place that word is used here. Then he adds two words, as if what he has said isn't enough. Without blame. Without blame. No cause for accusation. This is what the apostle longs for in the lives of his people in Thessalonica. Notice the element of certainty. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. He says that the God of peace himself, who's going to do it? God. And what's going to prevent God from doing it? Nothing. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God will accomplish. That's why Paul said in Philippians, he said, I'm convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God started in you in the work of salvation, the work of sanctification, the day will come when it is complete and perfect. Why? Because it's God's work. And he will do it. What is entire sanctification? How will it come to pass? When will it come to pass? We need to answer those questions, and we will do so as we continue our teaching this morning. Let's think first of all, as we've already mentioned, who's the author? Who's going to do it? God. God himself is going to do it. In fact, if you were reading the original, the wording is a bit different, the structure, the order of the words. And it would be, if you were sitting there listening to this letter, this epistle being read, Paul immediately draws your attention to God first. The word order would be something like himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. It is this outworking in the process of sanctification that God will perfect. Now, who began the work of salvation in you? Was it you? No. We believe in what we call the effectual call. And that's the work that the Holy Spirit does in a person's mind, heart, and soul, effectually calling, effectually drawing them to himself in salvation, and then regenerating them, giving them spiritual life. And now that there's life, there's repentance and faith in Christ as evidence of that life. Many have the idea, no. I repent and I believe, and that causes God to give me life. Wrong. What does Ephesians 2 teach us? And you who were dead in trespasses and sin, God quickened. God gave life where there was death. We don't earn our salvation because we repent and I believe and now God's going to give me life and save me. No. God gives life. He quickens the dead sinner. And that enables the dead sinner now with that spiritual life to cry out to God in saving faith and to repent of sins. And that is initiated by God. But sanctification, on and on, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, on and on until the coming of Christ, is the work of God as much as calling you to salvation initially. It's His work, and He will complete it. And when it is completed, nothing will be left to be desired. Now, in the process, sure, there can be improvement. But when the overall product is finished, it's complete. It's entire. Lacking nothing. Now, here's the crucial issue. Have you been thinking this along? When is it going to happen? Have you thought about that? Have you asked that question? Some say, well, here and now. They believe it's going to happen here and now. That we'll be completely sanctified. Do you realize that there are churches that teach that you can reach a level of sanctification where you never sin anymore? There are churches who believe that. They reach a level of spiritual maturity and sanctification that they don't commit sin anymore. I had a missionary friend one time, and we were discussing that particular issue. He said, yeah, I know about some of those people. He said, I really would love to get them involved in a hot game of tennis. I don't know if you get the point, but the point would be he would put them under so much pressure that they would probably use some cuss words or get angry and lose their temper because he could beat them so soundly. He would put them to the test to see if what they say is really true. Is this entire sanctification going to happen here and now? What does the text say? How do you read it? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it's complete. That's when the work is entire. Do we not believe that same truth about our human bodies? What's going to happen at the return of Christ? Whether we'll remain alive or whether we've died and been buried. What's going to happen to the body at the return of Christ? It's going to be made well and whole and perfect forever. Yes. And so we will be perfectly sanctified at the coming of Christ. Look with me at Romans 8, verse 23. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. There's what we've been talking about. It's at the coming of Christ. And the unified teaching of Scripture is this, that the entire sanctification of the body awaits resurrection, so does the entire complete sanctification of our spirit. Now, in the third place, we've touched on this, but I want to reemphasize it for our encouragement, and that is the absolute certainty. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. It will happen with every degree of certainty. Turn with me to Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And what's the process? And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The perfection, the finality of the work. The day is coming, dear ones, when we will be like him. Glorified in his presence and able to love him and serve him with an unsinning heart. That day is coming. As sure as you're sitting here. I ask you the question, is that not a word of consolation to you? What could bring to us greater joy, greater peace, greater satisfaction, greater consolation than knowing the day is coming when God will have us in his presence like him? Paul, at one point in writing in Romans 7, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Paul also knew the day was coming when he would be perfectly sanctified and in God's presence. What has been your reaction to this truth today? I hope it's been one of great encouragement. And if you're here without Christ, we would urge you to come to Christ today. And see Christ work in your life, making you to be the person he wants you to be, for your good and for his glory. It's a wonderful work of salvation, a wonderful work of sanctification. And Paul tells us, as he told the believers in Thessalonica, God will do it. It's also a word of reminding us of the return of Christ. At the coming of Christ. He is coming. Be ready to meet him. And in the meantime, from your study of God's word, from your time in prayer, implement truth into your life so that that work of sanctification is gradually being carried on and you're becoming more like him every day in your daily life. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We pray that you will use your truth to accomplish your will and purpose in each of our lives today. For those who are outside of Christ, we pray that this would be the day that they would come to you, that you would call them, and that they would come. And they would find you to be their Lord and Savior. And that they could point to this day and say, "Old things passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new." Father, I pray for those who are among us today here who know you and love you and serve you. We pray, Father, that we might be more determined than ever to obey you, to submit to you, to seek in every way to be conformed to your blessed and perfect will, that we may reflect your image to those closest to us, to those in the world. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.